Welcome to another episode of Beyond Diagnosis. Today we're going to be talking all about the gut, your drainage and detox pathways. Lera Mikhailova is a board certified OBGYN nurse practitioner, a functional medicine specialist with a background in neuroscience and feminine alchemy hormone specialist, and she is also a nervous system coach. Hello and welcome to Beyond Diagnosis, a podcast to raise your awareness, decisions, and voice for alternative practices so you can take back control of your health. I'm Rita DeMichelle, your host, a mindset and empowerment coach, and the founder of the Onus platform. Join me each week so you can create the health of your dreams. Welcome to another episode of Beyond Diagnosis. Today we're going to be talking all about the gut, your drainage and detox pathways. Lera Mikhailova is a board certified OBGYN nurse practitioner, a functional medicine specialist with a background in neuroscience and feminine alchemy hormone specialist, and she is also a nervous system coach. Welcome to the show, Lera.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Oh, it's lovely to have you. Now, you were first trained in the conventional model in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior before becoming a board certified OBGYN nurse practitioner. Mm-hmm. Why did you end up changing from all that study, degrees, work, and move into functional and integrative medicine?
It's a great question. And eventually, I think it's actually what guided my career is that very early on, I was sick. Like most women, I think we have issues with our hormones very early on, and they get normalized. And then we get a little bit older and we get a little more symptoms and they get a little bit more normalized, right? And then we get even older and everything just keeps getting normalized. And it seems like a lot of us are just unwell. And they say things like, welcome to the club, or you're just stressed out. And I think inherently I got sick or felt unwell early enough that I wanted to study medicine to save myself. Right? I wanted to understand why these things happened to me, why they happened to me when I was young. I wanted to be inspirational. I can understand it in me, and then I can change other lives. And it's this beautiful story. And you think that you're going to dive deeper and deeper and find answers. And that's initially what started the process for me, is I went through a series of traumatic events. I was in car accidents. I had hormone issues. Some of them were physical, like accidents, and others were more internal, like gut symptoms. And I had every intention of going into the medical system. I wanted to study mind-body medicine, which is what I studied at first, right? So you get this neuroscience background, you get this physiology, like what is it doing in the body background? So how do we act as a result, right? That mind-body connection. And then I was super excited because I'm like, ooh, I like the nursing model. It really resonates with me more than just the allopathic medical model, right? We joke that nurse practitioner is kind of brain of a doctor, heart of a nurse. And so you combine it. And I was like, ooh, that's me. And I practiced for a number of years as a gynecologist, right? So I'm the person that people would see for their pap smears, for their hormone issues, for their breast pains, for their fibroids, for their pregnancies. And inherently, what made me finally decide to leave is that I only got sicker and sicker. That despite the fact that I got a lot of years of school, I never seemed to really get any answers to that fundamental question of why, right? You have gut issues, but why? You have hormone issues, but why? I was just like most women in my generation who found salvation in birth control, right? Hormonal birth control. And you're not asking, like, what are the side effects of this? Or is it just masking something? So what I wound up realizing is that a lot of people in the medical field would see each other. So my colleagues would see, primary would see me for gynecology, right? I would see derm because I had acne because of gut issues and hormone issues and all the imbalances that we have. And at one point, I realized that being in my field, I loved what I was doing. I loved the impact that I had, but it was literally killing me. And you don't get root cause answers, and you work with wonderful people who also weren't trained to give root cause answers. Right. And so we all kind of just do the best we can with what we were given, realizing that oftentimes we were giving out band-aids despite our best intentions. And so a lot of us wound up questioning the system, right? Because you don't want to just do the algorithmic model of care. If this, then this. And if they have this symptom, yes or no, you literally like can follow it down by the flow chart. I didn't want to do that. So first I became a little bit more of like the hippie clinician, right? A little bit more of the holistic, like woo-woo, where I dared talk about diet and I dared talk about stress and not just assume that it's something that we can manage with a pill. And after a while, you realize that despite my best intentions to really gung-ho change the system from the inside out, the system is broken. Right? The system is fundamentally flawed, and it does have its benefits, and it does have amazing things that it can still do, but it doesn't really speak to revival on a root cause level, particularly for women with all of the hormones that we have and the changes that we experience. It's not built for that. It's built for acute medicine.
Absolutely. It's not, yes. And that's what one of the purpose of this podcast is, because so many people have complex conditions with so many moving parts to it. But what they're finding is that they take a pill for this and then they take a pill for that. So it's all compartmentalized, but it's not looked at as a whole, like what you were saying, and going back to the why. What's the why behind the why? Behind the why, like why is that happening? And I believe that you've also moved even further from functional and integrative. Can you talk a little bit about what you're doing there? Because that's really interesting for people who have, or our listeners who have just maybe moved into functional and integrative, but maybe aren't quite sure whether that is a good fit for them. And I'm still confused. Well, if that's not a good fit for me, but I don't want to be on medication, what's another possibility?
Oh, it's such a good question. First and foremost, what I found when I got excited about holistic medicine, alternative, integrative, functional, whatever you wanted to call it, is that it was exciting. It was not, right? All of a sudden, you're like, what do you mean? There are answers. And what you'll find is that for a lot of people, the answer could be purchased for 10 easy payments of $99 for this person's exclusive cleanse. Right. And this person's supplement. And this, and all of a sudden, where I what I realized is the world of root cause medicine is extremely beautiful. So first, what we did in conventional medicine is we treated women like nothing but a bag of symptoms. And we said, let's break you open. You have a headache, here's a pill. You have like you have diarrhea, here's something to stop it. You have a rash, here's your cream. What we tried to do in functional medicine is we tried to take it one step further and say, who are you, right? What is the root of these symptoms? And I think fundamentally what we're missing for women is the more I've been doing this for a long time, right? And I mentioned I have a private practice that books out a long time in advance, and I kept trying to figure out why. And it's probably not because I'm the best the world has ever seen. It's that we shouldn't be treated like a bag of symptoms, which is conventional medicine. And sometimes if you're bleeding, the bleeding needs to stop. And that's a very good place to be, right? To have your emergency issue dealt with.
Absolutely.
Not in an emergency. What if you're just unwell? Okay, well, then you go to a place where there might be some answers. But the thing is, we almost created this slippery slope of toxic wellness. That's what overwhelms people, is that you must take these 50 supplements. Right. What's the difference between taking 20 meds and 20 supplements? I guess supplements might be technically better for you in the long run, maybe, because maybe they're more botanical, right? Maybe it's more herbal, it's less chemical. But what are you treating? So we created this next level of overwhelm, which is that if you don't practice wellness perfectly, you also aren't going to get relief. Right. What I saw a lot in my practice over the years is that people came to me. I joke all the time that I'm never someone's first domino, right? I'm the weirdest pot at the end of the rainbow. They have already seen conventional clinicians. They've seen functional. They've seen integrative. They've seen naturopaths. They've seen everyone. And somewhere, somehow, they heard of me. And they're like, well, I'm on these 50 supplements and I did these millions of tests and I've done, like, invested all of this money. Fundamentally, what we're missing is seeing women as a full story, right? The actual beginning of who are you in this process? What are the root causes of your symptoms? But more importantly, do you actually feel safe enough in your body to start healing? What we don't look at as often is we don't look at the nervous system. Right? You can only go as far as your nervous system deems as safe. You cannot have chronic illness and get better if you're still living in the same moldy house with the same toxic relationship, with the same terrible job, with the same eating habits, and you cannot out-supplement your nervous system. You cannot out-wellness your nervous system. It's the root of the root of the root. And so when women come to me and they're like, I have fibromyalgia, but I also have psoriasis, but I also have IBS, but I also have migraines, but I also have this, there's really only three root causes, period, to everything, right? If we can distill it down to just telling it like a story instead of trying to patch a boat with too many holes, and whether that boat is with meds that you're patching it or with frantic supplements and quick cleanses and food restrictions, you're still patching a boat and you don't know the full story, right? So what I find is missing is oftentimes nervous system repair and embodiment.
Ooh,
Actually
that's a cool point.
reconnecting with yourself on a level so you're no longer viewing yourself as a bag of symptoms, right? So you're not in victim mentality. So you're not feeling powerless. It's this deep-seated sense of sovereignty that we're missing as women. That comes from understanding your body. First off, a lot of times women are hesitant to go anywhere because no one's actually teaching them the fundamentals. This is what your gallbladder does. This is why you need one. It might be where your symptoms are coming from, right? It's very powerful to actually say, these are the things that we just want you to know about. This is how we want to actually change your relationship to food, not just restrict you with the 20 things you shouldn't eat, right? Welcome to wellness. Food's going to kill you. That's all we do is we make people scared. And so we made them scared of conventional medicine. They're scared to go and they're trying to find alternatives. But now we created this almost wellness toxicity. Right? This idea of like, we need to get rid of these foods and we need to do it all perfectly. And I really like keeping it simple. Right. I mentioned there's really only three root causes to me of everything. And that includes your skin stuff and your gut stuff. And when we talk about gut and drainage and detox, when it kind of permeates, we're really talking about your nervous system. We're really talking about your relationship to food. And all of these can be beautifully broken down. And then we're really talking about toxicity. Those are literally the three over and over that everything that I see in practice, and I see very complex cases, everything can kind of funnel back to those at the core root. And so people are like, but what about my parasite cleanse? And I'm like, chill out, relax. You cannot get better in a body that feels unsafe. In a nervous system that feels like it's running from the bear, right? We cannot get better if we don't know how to slow down, if we do not actually feel worthy of healing, right? If we're still overscheduling ourselves all the time, but now you're overscheduling yourself with healing instead of like whatever else you were doing before. And so I think there's something really innately beautiful about women being able to breathe that sigh of relief of, oh, this isn't a massive undertaking, right? This idea of transformation, this idea of truly getting to the root of your symptoms. It's not a massive undertaking. It's just challenging to have to unlearn so much, right? We have to unlearn a certain way of conditioning. We have to unlearn a way that we've been taught to eat, right? As a woman, I joke that like I ate Cocoa Puffs for dinner for a number of years, right? And I didn't know how to identify protein on a plate. And a lot of us as women have really difficult relationships with food, really, really difficult relationships. And so to actually start at just meeting women where she's at, instead of layering on more to-dos on a woman who's already burned out, right? But now instead of conventional x-rays and ultrasounds, it's supplements and whatever else comes up. I think it's so beautiful to create these foundations that tell a story of like, where did this come from? Can we identify these roots and kind of just let things organically move while we support you as you transform, not get healed, right? But just undertake that transformation into having a different relationship with your body and understanding what the signals are that your body's been trying to say. Because that's what a lot of symptoms are. They're not symptoms, they're signals. And I think that's what disheartens so many women, is that they keep thinking like, oh, I have so many things wrong with me. And I'm like, actually, a lot of these are side effects to medications. Some of these might be symptoms, but others are signals. It means your body's working for you, not against you. It's just trying to tell you, like, look here. Like, I'm literally telling you, this is the check engine light. Look under the hood. And we're like, you know what'll help a check engine light? An antidepressant. And you're like, hold on, no, but it's telling you where to look. We just were never taught how.
That's
I
so
think
true.
that's really, really powerful, is to teach a woman how. It builds out a lot of resilience and it builds out a lot of freedom instead of more fear.
Wow, I love that. What a fantastic response. And it's so true, though, isn't it? We actually are conditioned to fear our body, that our body is working against us, that it's not there for us. Like, this doesn't work, that doesn't work. It's, how many times do you hear people say, oh, my body's let me down? I don't think it's ever let you down. I had my very first mentor would always say, listen to the barking dog because it'll keep the tiger at bay. Like, listen to that bark, the symptoms that you were saying, because then it'll keep the bigger problem away, if you actually intuitively. And I think what you're saying is, for our listeners, is for them to breathe, take a breath, and get back intuitively with themselves and their body and understand that you are safe in your body, but all the external influences, social media, the internet, half the people that we go to see are always telling you that there's something wrong, that your body isn't right, you need this, you need to be doing that, you need to be doing some form of balance, or like we're about to talk about, is gut drainage. So let's move into gut drainage and detox, because I know that you have a particular perspective on that. And what are some of the main sort of gut symptoms that you deal with your clients? Let's talk about drainage so our listeners understand what you mean by that. And I believe that you have a real thing around detox, and people aren't doing it properly. So what is all this, and how are they critically interconnected?
They're fundamental. think for every woman, because going back to what you initially said, I loved what you said, because our conditioning is, first off, we're broken, right? You're not broken, the system is broken, number one. You might still feel like crap, and you don't deserve to feel like crap. So you don't need to walk around in a state of like, right, constant gratitude of like, but it could be worse, or like, welcome to the club, I'm just aging. No, you deserve to actually understand why it's happening to your body. But also, with the culture that's been created, our social culture, think of how we measure a woman's worth in her productivity.
So
So
true.
we have women constantly who are like, oh, I'm overscheduled, I'm so busy, but at least I got so much done. Right? So we've conditioned women to work nonstop, to ignore our circadian rhythm, our infradian rhythm. We have multiple rhythms, we have cycles as women. We have been taught to ignore all of them to just get shit done. Right? And then so we ignore these symptoms, we ignore the beginning signs, because we've literally never even been taught to identify, hey, I'm feeling a way that I shouldn't be feeling. Our normal, our baseline is already women who are undernourished and don't know how to eat, right? And constantly are at this level of exhaustion. And then we tell them, good job. At least you were more of a martyr today. You put everyone ahead of you. You took care of everyone's needs but your own. Good job not listening to your body further, right? So we literally reward women with it. We reward them with this idea of make sure that you martyr yourself out. If you model behavior, if you actually take care of yourself, if you rest, if you say no, if you create meals for yourself, if you don't eat a granola bar in one hand and drive with the other, you're lazy, you're taking too much time for yourself. How dare you? Right? So it leads straight into the fact that the gut symptoms that I see all the time are subtle symptoms that have turned into not so subtle symptoms, right? Feelings of fullness, bloating, acid reflux that turn into constipation, diarrhea, IBS, right? Irritable bowel disease. These things where it's like, I have women who are bloated, and I'm like, maybe you're just not chewing your food. And they're like, I'm sorry, you're supposed to chew your food? So I have to teach women how to chew. I had to learn how to chew. Most women don't chew properly, right? That's what I mean by these fundamentals, where women come in with some pretty kooky diagnoses to me, right? They come in with the ultrasounds, with whatever. And I'm like, if you have never done X, Y, and Z for this issue that will cost you, for example, like $10, 10 minutes, and yet you've overshot it to be like, should I take this medicine from my doctor? Right? Should I spend all this money on alternative healing? The answer is no. First, we figure out your foundations. Bloating, IBS, constipation, by the way, is someone who's not pooping every day. I have women who are like, no, I'm not constipated. I poop every couple of days. And I'm like, then you are constipated. Fundamentally, for the gut, we have so many things that I wish women were taught that happen there, right? Number one, most of your immune system lives in your gut. If you have an autoimmune condition, or you probably have an undiagnosed autoimmune condition, right? If something's happening, most of your immune system lives in your gut. As women, we have hormones that we are supposed to poop out. That means our hormones go through our gut. If you've been exposed to toxins, right, we'll talk about drainage and detox. You are supposed to eliminate those. And one of the ways that you do that is through your gut. And so it's this place that ideally, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, right? You have infections, you get exposures to toxins, you have like hormone issues, and it kind of just stays in your gut and gets eliminated. And we're seeing that that's not happening at all anymore. So women have gut infections that are causing symptoms. Women have exposures to molds, to chemicals, to metals. All of that is taking root, right? It's causing inflammation, which is what the immune system is responsible for, right? We've all heard of inflammation. It's a literal thing, but it's created by the immune system, and your immune system primarily lives in your gut. So food sensitivities come up. I don't even check people for food sensitivities because they're like, just tell me what to take out. And I'm like, why? Are you allergic to it? They're like, yeah. I'm like, you were born allergic to it? They're like, no, but I'm probably allergic now. And I'm like, no. You probably developed an inflammatory reaction to that food. So let's dive deeper, right? Why are you suddenly dairy intolerant or gluten intolerant, or what else is coming up? I have women who enter my practice and they can only eat like 10 foods. And they're like, just tell me what I can eat. And I'm like, how about we actually go through the process of nurturing your body and identifying root causes, because food sensitivities are never the root cause, right? Food allergies are real. Like, and there's definitely certain things that I prefer women avoid when they're trying to get their bodies less inflamed and when they're trying to get more resources, right, available to them. But fundamentally, what I want women to realize is the gut is kind of that last exit, and it should be an exit. And for most women, it's not. And so we go back kind of to the source of most women have never actually run testing to identify what's in their gut, right? Ever. So they're over here being like, I'm miserable, I'm bloated, I have diarrhea, then I don't poop, then like, should I take Tums? And I'm like, well, why don't we just find out what's in your gut? And they're like, well, they already tested me and everything's fine. I'm like, well, if it was fine, you would feel fine and you don't seem fine. And we've already been conditioned to be like, oh, I don't know, the labs were normal. I've never once run a functional stool test on a woman with gut symptoms that came back normal, ever, ever, ever. Right? Because if you know what you're looking for, if you know the area, you absolutely will find it. And so that's kind of what I really want women to understand is oftentimes the investigation has been said that it's been done, but only from a conventional side. The functional approach, the integrative approach, there's a beautiful data gathering aspect to it. Right? Science is very sexy. It's so validating to be like, look, you're not digesting or absorbing your food. Look, your immune system's not doing so well. You're not pooping out your estrogen. Right? You might have like internal bleeding, or we can actually see the inflammation. We can literally just see it. From there, you can make a plan. And that fundamental hub is where we incorporate, okay, but how does the body feel safe again? Right? You don't want to spot treat everything, you don't want to freak them out. The whole point is we just know where to start focusing. We know what to do. We know how to do it compassionately, and we know how to do it holistically. And so fundamentally, I think that's what's missing on a gut level is we're offering women meds and saying, we didn't find anything. I'm like, that means you need to look elsewhere, right? And there are other places to look. And of every woman who's entered my practice, I don't know, 95% of them have actually not had proper testing done. And 99% of them don't know how to eat. So when we talk about gut health, we talk about the fact that as women, we are, as an entire society, we're completely malnourished. We don't know what to eat. We don't know how to eat. You should definitely be vegan and carnivore at the exact same time, right? Like, we literally, like, everyone's just like, oh, I'm gonna do this, and then
I
I'm gonna
think
do this.
everyone's fear become fearful around food.
Exactly. It has to be personalized. It has to be personalized. It has to be data-driven. It has to be intuitive. It has to actually take into account your experience, your story. And we put that all together because what I find is that a lot of women have also seen me when they've worked with other practitioners. And they're like, but I did the parasite cleanse, and I did a parasite cleanse for 2 years. And they see my jaw drop to the floor. And I'm like, I'm sorry. But we just tested you and you still have your parasite. What gives? Right? So the point isn't to suddenly go into this extremism of you have to get rid of this and this. You crowd out the bad with the good, right? A huge part of my practice is focused on resiliency. How do you actually build out your body for that sense of vitality? Right? How do you actually eat food so you can how do you eat it? How do you absorb it so you can use food? You can use your nutrients and your minerals to deal with some of the bad things. Right? It's almost like hiring an assistant, except for the assistant is the organs that should have been working all along. Right? They have the power to actually deal with things before you even focus all of your attention on them. So I find oftentimes if you're looking at the gut and you're identifying infections and you're teaching a woman how to eat and you're teaching her how to balance her blood sugar, right? And you're teaching her the importance of these fundamental tools. They're like, that's weird. As I'm pooping better, my rash cleared up or my joints hurt less, right? My hair's not falling out anymore. And we're like, we didn't even focus there. But it's because you finally are able to access and use what you should have doing all along. Right. And so fundamentally, I see so much with the gut that that overwhelms even me. And I'm a specialist in this. Who do I trust? Where do I turn? You trust yourself. You fundamentally find support. You build out a village of people who have, right, the experience, who you fundamentally feel like are like a hell yes when you speak to them. Not someone who's trying to sell you something, not someone who it's a limited time only deal, right? It's someone who fundamentally has either been like me, sicker than most women who have ever been in my practice, like myself, and who have this bridge from conventional to different, right? To transformative medicine, to functional, whatever you want to call it at this point. And then to also incorporate the other organs. Right. So that's kind of what you were talking about with drainage and detox as well.
Can you talk a little bit? That is so informative, and I think it's also a little scary for people who have, they have chronic symptoms. They're in so much pain. They've tried everything. They're so desperate to get rid of the bloating, the gut, the pain. They can't eat something without running to the bathroom. They've stopped socializing. For that woman to think, oh, I just have to get back in touch with myself can be quite confronting, because all they want is for that to be gone,
Precisely. That's I think, and you touched on it, which is I think we should absolutely get in touch with ourselves, but we should also know what we're touching. That's the data aspect of it. That's actually working with someone where there's accountability and teaching, right? We literally have to learn this stuff. So yes, you can't get back in touch with someone that you've never been in touch with. And most of us, we're never fundamentally in touch with ourselves. Right, we're accomplishers, we're go-getters. You do things, you move to the next goal, you take care of people, you plan vacations, you plan your promotion. There's always this next rapid movement. And so I think fundamentally what happens is testing is a really important piece, and then focusing on the foundations is a really important piece. You cannot get in touch with yourself if you're so overwhelmed that you don't want to touch yourself, right? Like, I don't know how else to say it. Most women are too tired and too overwhelmed to even consider it.
Yes.
The idea is for someone to actually guide you through something that isn't overwhelming, something that might be hard, but is also the right kind of hard, where you feel fundamentally aligned with it. Yes, I want to know the foundations of my body. Yes, I want to know here's how I should eat. For example, I'm always telling women, like, you must chew your food to applesauce consistency. You want to get rid of bloat? Make sure you're drinking enough water, right? Half of your body weight in ounces. Make sure you chew your food 20 to 30 chews per bite. Fundamentally, just take three deep breaths before you eat, right? Don't stare at a screen. Take yourself on a date. You don't have to go to a restaurant. Just put the screen away for a second, right? We're so hooked to the next goal that we don't actually slow down. And what I find at least is really powerful is to teach a woman little ways to slow down. And as she slows down just a little bit, you already have something there for her that makes her feel better. And it's something actionable and quite simple, right? So it's not like a 10-year detox, and it's not a sudden parasite cleanse. It's here's how to actually eat your food. Try this. Or in the case of women, right? There's a huge surge of autoimmunity, right? Thyroid issues. Something really important, even to tell women, is these associations. Your thyroid inherently, which is up here in your neck, is responsible for energy and metabolism, right? It's like your inner thermometer. It can be cranked up too high, too low. We really like it just right. But on a gut level, gluten, if we chew it, and if you happen to be, like I mentioned, intolerant or sensitive to it, if you actually are, if your body doesn't like it so much right now, the problem is when we digest it, that actual, the protein, the little gluten protein, can pass through our gut, right? We've heard of leaky gut now, but it gets into where the immune system is, right? Because the immune system lives right there. And your immune system attacks gluten because it shouldn't be there. It should be in your gut. But when it attacks it, it says, don't worry, next time I see this, I'm going to attack it again, right? I got you. I'm going to figure this out. And so your immune system is wired to attack gluten. But the problem is those immune cells travel everywhere. And when they get to the thyroid, something that happens is called molecular mimicry. The thyroid cells look almost identical to gluten cells. And so, right, you get to the thyroid and your immune system's like, ooh, gluten, let's attack it. And your thyroid's like, no, 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 I'm just the thyroid. But the DNA looks too similar. Mm. And so you have women who don't know how to eat, and you tell them before you say all food is evil, if you've ever been diagnosed with a thyroid condition, maybe take gluten out, because there's a huge thyroid gluten connection. It's huge. Your gluten proteins look almost identical to your joint cells. So again, if you've been eating it and you're reactive to it, by the time your immune cells like, ooh, I'm going to help you. Every time I see gluten, I'm going to attack it. It gets to your joint cells and it's like, well, that looks like gluten. I'm going to attack it. And suddenly you have knee pain. Right. And so for those women who are overwhelmed, sometimes it's very beautiful just to start learning about these connections. For the gut, thyroid and gluten is one that I would love for women to take away if they don't know it already, because the food that literally the gluten looks so similar to other things that are fundamentally found in your body. So maybe take it out for 3-4 weeks. See how you feel. It gives your gut a chance to rest, right? So you don't have to do all those things. Maybe if you just start focusing on hydration and chewing a bit more, putting your fork down between bites, right? So you're not shoveling food. So you're not a human garbage disposal, right? We need enough stomach acid to break food down. And we just literally are always on the go. So on a gut level, I think there's so much that women can do foundationally before they even have to feel that sense of overwhelm of what do I do with this? And how do I completely learn to eat? You kind of get back to the basics. When food goes into your mouth, what's happening? Do you chew it? Are you on the go? Are you eating gluten, but maybe you've been diagnosed with Hashimoto's, or maybe you haven't, maybe you've been diagnosed with arthritis, right? Joint pain. Thyroid issues, or maybe no one's run full panels on you and you haven't been diagnosed. It might just be worthwhile to temporarily take it out, right? For 3-4 weeks. See how your gut does when there's one less trigger. Because the gut really is, it's responsible for so many symptoms outside the gut. You can feel that bloating, you could feel the diarrhea, you could feel the constipation. But because the immune system and the gut are so connected, and the immune system is what creates inflammation, that's responsible for so many other inflammatory symptoms throughout your body. Right? And so that's why it's so important to start there. Instead of feeling like you're branching out and where do I start first, it's you start with your gut. What's easy to implement? What's something where maybe it's a little bit, it's like one challenging thing, but you feel like you have the capacity to do it. And then you just build on those instead of rushing from one thing to another and trying to trade them all the time, hoping that you find the secret magic pill or the secret magic cleanse or the diet. Right? A lot of this is just building one on top of the other so that you build out that gut resilience because it domino effects into immune system resilience.
It's fantastic information that you're giving the listeners here, because it's really the build, like you were saying, it's starting slow, starting small, and just like building blocks, build one on top of the other, go slow, don't panic. But I guess to start, what you're saying is create a relationship, like have a bit of mindfulness and awareness about what you're doing. Think about what you're putting in your mouth. Think about that slowing down, being mindful about your chewing. How many times do you see that, busy moms, busy professional moms, whatever, they've fed the family and everything, they're standing in the kitchen eating before they're doing the next thing. I mean, I know when my son was young and, busy and had other obligations, etc. Stress played such a huge part on my gut health. I don't have the best gut health, but I can remember sometimes buckling over in pain when I was stressed. And that's why I guess what you're talking about, the connection between the gut, the immune system, stress plays a huge part. And I was actually listening to a video about how we see, how many years ago you didn't see all this autoimmunity, you didn't see all these food intolerances. And now that the statistics have come out that women are more likely to have autoimmunity, like
Right.
they're the percentage is so much higher than men, like men is, it's small. Is there a reason for that? Why women have more autoimmunity?
Yes, I think there are several reasons. So first and foremost, I've worked with hormones for so long, right? And all of this goes back to the gut, to the nervous system. It's a really beautiful thing. You start repeating yourself. So instead of being like, oh, I have to catch everything she says, she talked about 700 different things. After a while, you're like, oh, okay, back to the gut, right? Back to what happens there. And for autoimmunity, about 80% of autoimmunity is found in women. Absolutely. One of those is environment. I cannot stress that enough. So as women, number one, we are primary caretakers often, right? You mentioned mamahood. I'm a mama myself. I also work deeply in the world of fertility. So now getting pregnant is a massively stressful event. Being pregnant is a massively stressful event, and having kids is a massively stressful event. So we're constantly in hustle culture, right? It's nonstop. But also we have more environmental toxicity than ever before. All right. So the products that we're using, the things that the what's in our foods, the processing of our foods, the houses that we're living in, a lot of it is there's literally something called hormone disruptors. We light our fragranced candle, right? Fragrance is a known hormone disruptor. It's something that we like you put on your beautiful body lotion, right? And sometimes you'll see in the ingredient list, it'll literally just say fragrance. That means fragrance is usually something that when it comes in contact with our bodies, it acts in a more toxic way, or it acts in a way that might even mimic our hormones. And so now we're in this constant generating that there's environmental toxicity mixed with stress, mixed with undereating, right? Notice I didn't say parasites. And all of a sudden, you have to do all these things. It's no. It's kind of the same for all of us. Everyone's overstressed. The environment's affecting everybody, Right. Everyone has some level of nervous system dysregulation. It just depends on how the symptoms show up for you individually. So I keep seeing the same patterns over and over again. That's a huge part of my job is just pattern recognition. And women cry on their first visit or their second visit, and they feel so seen because it's like you're not that special in your pain. We've seen this before. I know people said there are not answers, but you kind of when you work with women daily, you start being able to tease things out over and over again. Stress literally punches holes in our gut, right? Like you said, that gut stress, it literally punches holes so that it can release the little proteins, the little super glue that holds your gut together so that they can go elsewhere and support the emergency stress situation. You don't really need your gut if you're running from a bear. Like, what are you going to do? Stop and have a picnic if you're running? No, you run, you get out of the danger zone, right? And so that's why every woman, chronic stress over time plays this role. What we don't want to do is stress a woman out further. So we kind of get back to this idea of, well, your environment plays a role in your gut health and autoimmunity. Autoimmunity and your gut health are critically linked because your immune system lives in the gut, right? So now we've introduced more processed food. We've introduced more environmental toxins. But if you remember back from what I said in the beginning, we're supposed to poop out our toxins. We're supposed to poop out our hormones. But what if you're covered in shampoo that has fragrance and everything? I'm just using fragrance as an example, but we're inundated with all of these fragrances, with all of these chemicals, and your body's doing the best it can to try to get rid of them. But your gut can't handle it. Your gut's trying to poop out toxins and maybe has acquired some food sensitivities and maybe has a gluten sensitivity. Who knows? A lot's going on. And maybe it's infections, maybe it's the toxins, or maybe it's that cumulative effect, right? It's just a lot of noise. It's a lot going on. And so that's what we wind up seeing is there's such a dysregulation. We're not eating to nourish ourselves. We don't know how to eat. No one ever taught us. We don't know how to have toxins. We're not pooping out our toxins. We're not pooping out our hormones. We have gut infections, but because the immune system lives in the gut, it starts freaking out. But the immune system lives right outside the gut. There's actually part of it that connects, like literally speaks to the gut, but it lives right outside. So that means after a while, if we've been inundated with the environmental toxins and the infections and the hormone disorder, all of this stuff, whatever it might be, it leaks out of the gut. The immune system starts freaking out, and the immune system creates inflammation. That's what it does. That's the big red siren that says, like, hey, look here, something's wrong. But the problem that most women have never been taught is that inflammation is real. It's not this idea. Inflammation can be measured in the body, and inflammation travels. And it travels to the point of weakness. So you can imagine that if you're constantly getting signals from your environment and from your body that are meant to exit the gut, but they don't, you wind up in this state where the immune system's overfiring. It's more inflammation, and that signal never comes down like it should. And after a while, we develop autoimmunity. There's only so much that your body, there's too much inflammation. Your body's like, this, let's attack this, let's attack. I don't know. It's all over the place. It's too overwhelming. And so that's also something women can do is just look at your products. Does every single one have fragrance? Does your candle smell like you're frolicking in a meadow, right? Like you're constantly in this state of fragrance exposure. It's a great thing to look at and potentially replace. It's why detox and drainage, that other part, right? It's why it matters so much, is that fundamentally we're just giving the gut and the immune system way more than they know what to do with. And as we increase these environmental toxins and we increase our stress and we increase our disconnection, right? Social media, all of these things, there's still stress responses. The body can't handle it anymore. And so we turn on gut issues, we turn on autoimmunity, and we kind of start that whole cascade.
It's complex, isn't it? It is complex.
It's
And
complex.
it's complex, but it's also doable. It's also fixable. It's, I think so many listeners have to try to believe that they're they can move forward and feel better, which I'd like to touch back on what we were talking about, like the detox, because you believe that there is, with so much out there of people talking about detox, and like you were saying, take this, drink that, starve yourself for 2 weeks and, you know, only have water, whatever it is. How do people, what are people doing wrong? And what do you believe is the right way? And also, there is that genetic factor, isn't there, of people who have those genetic SNPs, like MTHFR that doesn't allow them to detox properly, etc. What way would you encourage people if they want to do a detox? And what do you think is so wrong with the way people are doing it? And maybe even touch on a little bit about that genetic side of it.
Absolutely. So most of the women that cannot, or most of the people that cannot detox are women, right? Like you said, MTHFR, there's, we have different SNPs, we have different, right, genetic variants for mold detox, for hormone detox, for many, many different variations of detox. I really appreciated what you said, is that we are complex, but we are not complicated. And people overcomplicate things all the time. So if you want to detox, right, if you literally want to get things out of your body, that's the idea of detox, pee, poop, sweat. It's pretty much all we got. You must not start with detox. Please do not start with detox. You start with drainage. Oh, that's what I wish more women knew. Oh my God, I wish it's what everyone knew before. I've seen so many women who are like, I did a detox cleanse. And I'm like, and what? They're like, I felt amazing. And I'm like, until, they're like, until 2 months later when my hair started falling out. Or like, then I wasn't able to sleep. Or like, I felt amazing until I didn't feel amazing. The missing ingredient for women is drainage. Drainage refers to multiple processes in the body, but the one that I really want women to understand is that we have something called our lymph system. And again, we're complex, but we're not complicated. Your lymph system also has fluid, but it's different than your blood. Your blood carries certain things. And all I want women to know about their lymph is it's your liquid trash can. That's it. Your liquid trash can. All right. So you have cellular debris, you had a virus, right? Like your body's trying to clean things up. There's a Hoover vacuum in there and it's trying to get all the crap out and it's trying to take the trash out of the kitchen. It dumps it into your lymph system. Guess what we've never been taught about as women? The lymph system. I've joked with pretty much every woman that's entered my practice where I'm like, I will give you $20 if you can just very concisely just tell me what the lymph system is. And they're like, Muro, nope.
I bet you've never handed over that $20.
there are so many women out there who owe me $20. I would rather them spend it on how easy drainage is and understanding the easy tools for how to actually start it. Drainage is your ability to move the toxins, move the crap actually into the places that it needs to go through to get out of your body, right? So back out of your body. Detox pulls things out of our tissue and dumps it into our body. What's the exit strategy? That's where detox fails. As women, we store toxins in our fat. We also store estrogen in our fat. So you can imagine, it's so nuanced. Like people are like, I need to mold detox. I need to this detox. And I'm like, actually, you need to take out the trash first. Don't worry about redecorating your kitchen and getting rid of everything. Just take out the trash first. That's why it smells, right? That's why it doesn't feel so good. It's just taking out that liquid trash can. So what we find is that oftentimes women are detoxing and creating so many side effects because they do not have the foundations in place to actually remove the toxin once it's been pulled out of the tissue. Okay, great. You did the cleanse. Fantastic. The mold, the chemicals, the whatever. It's all been pulled out. You cannot take your trash out if you don't open the door. Right? The lymph is you opening the door so you can actually get it out of your house. Your lymph has openings, right? There's ways to actually properly enter your lymph system. You have these things called nodes, right? Women might have. Every woman technically knows about lymph because they're like, oh, I feel swollen right under my jaw. I feel like I'm getting sick, right? Swollen lymph nodes or swollen nodes around our breasts, right? Is it bad? Is it okay? We've just never been properly taught. And so it's kind of going back to this idea that you can actually open your lymph pathways and it's very easy so that you get drainage going. So you think of it like cars that are trying to enter a freeway during rush hour traffic. Instead of creating total chaos and just saying, everyone go, everyone needs to get out, right? Instead of like an ambulance coming from the back and the car is freaking out, you just create a system in place where cars kind of go just like on a red and green light, right? On the freeway, one at a time. You just let them go so that you start moving things through and don't create congestion. Lymph support is what women are missing. So much lymph support goes to your gut, right? As women, that's what I mean by fundamentally. If you look at foundations, oftentimes you're like, I can't believe I feel 50% better. I feel like we've done like five things. And I'm like, actually, we've done four things, just so you know, right? We've done even less because we have entire systems that we've never loved up on. Lymph, fabulous. Dry brushing, right? Dry brushing, lymph, you can actually play with. You can literally move lymph manually, right? Lymph drainage massage is a thing. Dry brushing and actually dry brushing properly. There's a way to do it, and everyone keeps, for whatever reason, talking about it wrong. Making sure that you dry brush very, very gently, just move this fluid kind of towards the direction of the heart, towards the direction of these two main entry points into your lymph that sit right on your neck, right on top of those two little bones that you have that I'm playing with right now, that those clavicle bones. You have this beautiful on-ramp into that liquid trash can. There's a way to literally manually just move fluid. Guess what happens to a lot of women when they start supporting their lymph? They start supporting drainage. Suddenly they're like, how did I just finally lose those 10 pounds that I haven't been able to lose forever? I'm like, because it wasn't weight, it wasn't fat, it was swelling. Exactly. Why do you have bags under here? Why do you look puffy? Right? It's because we're just overburdening our body. And again, if we get back to those foundations, like drainage, your body's like, oh, thanks. I've been trying to get that out for like 4 years. Right? So it's this idea of like, we're supposed to poop, we're supposed to sweat. I have tons of women, I joke, but it's not a joke. I have women in my practice who are like, oh, I'm so feminine, I don't sweat. And I'm like, actually, that probably just means you're toxic. You want to eliminate things from your body. You have to
Absolutely.
poop. You have to love up on your lymph, right? Dry brushing is wonderful. Castor oil. I love castor oil packs. I cannot stress that enough. If you want to start detox, forget about detox. I tell people all the time, if someone tries to detox you without draining you, or explaining what drainage is and how to do it, they're an asshole. Right? It's just a quick fix. But the funny thing is drainage is also very quick. It's just foundational, right? It's not a band-aid to try to like literally push things out of your body and then be like, sorry, we don't know what to we dumped your trash can into your kitchen. You said to empty it, you just didn't specify where. Now it's on your dining table. Right? That's what happens if you detox without drainage. You don't know where to put the trash. You want to open that lymph system, right? That's critical for us. Dry brushing and castor oil are two of my absolute favorite ways to do that. They're so simple.
So how do people do a castle, like for our listeners only to this show? So you were touching on top of your collarbone, you were tapping on top of your collarbone, going down the neck, the side of your nose, those sort of lymph points to massage there nice and gently to sort of opening up the points. For the castor oil packs, for the drainage, where do you suggest someone starts with that?
That's a fabulous question. There's castor oil packs that are now already pre-made. I actually have a starter kit that I made for women that is literally like just a free guide that I give out all the time. So I actually talk about how to do it, which I know might be referenced here in the show of physically how, where do you get it? How do you apply it? Like the actual recommendations that I have for where to purchase it. But fundamentally, it's a pack. It's a wool, an organic wool flannel. You put castor oil on it, like a 1 to 2 tablespoons, and you literally put it on your liver and you sleep with it. And castor oil, I loved telling this to people in medicine because they were just sometimes they didn't know what to do with me in the beginning because they're like, wait, you're one of us. But castor oil, that sounds so woo-woo. And they're like, that can't work. And I'm like, I'm sorry. You mean to tell me that transdermal therapy doesn't work? I thought that's what we do with Parkinson's patches. I thought that's what we do with nicotine patches. Hold on, right? It's transdermal therapy. Without getting it too into the nuance, castor oil has some really, really powerful acids in it, right? That can actually permeate through all of the skin layers, right? Other oils can just make you feel soft. They make you feel nice. It's important to work with easy things to their full potential. Castor oil can go straight through and actually help with liver support, which is where one of our main places of detox is, right? To actually help move things along, to help move lymph, to help energy, right? When we start draining, we get more energy because you're not holding on to so much trash. Your body literally gets lighter. You got more resources. So castor oil is a fabulous place that I love for women to start because it's such an instant gratification, but it's also working foundationally, right? So it's not a quick fix where you're hoping for something to happen because, like you said, you starved yourself for 2 weeks and good luck. It's that it actually is quite easy to tie this on, sleep with a t-shirt over, right? Maybe don't use your nicest sheets ever as you learn how to actually use it, but you're pouring castor oil onto a small pack and you're literally putting it up against your body, and then you're forgetting about it overnight. And then you take it off. And the actual properties of it really help promote that drainage, promote digestion, right? That's what I mean by foundations. There's a lot of things that kind of beautifully umbrella into caring for your body as a whole. Castor oil is one of them. Right. So drainage, that's a great place for women to start where I'm like, I don't know, go about your whole life exactly as you have. Just slap on what looks like a giant maxi pad to onto your abdomen. See how well you poop in the morning. See how much energy you have. Please give it like more than a day. Right. I know we're used to like quick, but try it for a week, try it for two, see how you feel. Right. It's really, really powerful to have these little tools. Same thing with dry brushing. You don't start at your extremities. Start where your neck is. Move always towards the heart. Move always towards that clavicle heart area. Right? There's a right way. I go into it in depth in my course. I go in depth with it in my one-on-ones, just because I want women to actually learn how to do this right, because it's not that hard. You just want to literally do it appropriately. And so oftentimes it just takes demonstrating it. That's it, to say, try this and then kind of forget about it. A lot of this is just what I wish women were taught. Not that it's suddenly this huge undertaking. It's that, like, please know this. Great, put on a castor oil pack. Now just go, like, make your breakfast. See how it makes you feel, or go sleep. That's so weird that it made you sleep deeper. It's not because it's a quick fix, it's because you build out compound interest. You're giving yourself that drainage support time and again. You're right, almost like opening up that ability to move things out of your body. So with time, it gets more and more powerful. So it's less of a band-aid supplement, less of a medicine supplement. It's these foundational things that build on each other, like you were saying. Then, if you discover, right, you toxicity testing is quite easy. You usually like pee in a cup, or you like give off a sample of hair. If you do discover that there's toxicity, first off, you don't freak out. Now everyone's obsessed with, oh my God, I have mold. These things are nuanced to talk about. What I find is that people have entered my practice who have gone through so much detox and so many supplements and so like just so much, and it's so expensive and it's so time consuming. And I'm like, cool. So have you done a castor oil pack? And they're like, what's that? I'm like, okay. So let's go back to the fact that please learn about drainage. Please learn about your lymph being your liquid trash can. Use a dry brush properly. Get a castor oil pack. Right? I love a rebounder. A rebounder is just a fancy way of, right, saying tiny trampoline. It's a trampoline for adults. And I do what's called the geriatric bounce. I do nothing on it. I literally just bounce on it for like 2 minutes. It's a really easy way to, again, manually move lymph. Do it for 2, 3 minutes. These are practices that, like you and I were
Would
saying,
that be the
it's
same for those vibro plates? You know, those vibro plates, would they do the same thing for
yeah,
your lymph?
they're great. I just think that bouncing is cheaper.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I love the vibrating plates. I think they're wonderful, but I also think, again, that kind of goes full circle into wellness toxicity. When people are, I have the plate and I have the watch and I have this and I have this and then I put on the mask and then I'm like, do you poop every day? Do you use a castor oil pack? Do you use things that are kind of cheaper and foundational? But I love things that actually help with lymph because I feel like it's one of our biggest issues. And is it a root cause of your issues? No, because something caused that stagnation, right? Something created that block, something overfilled the trash can. But first, you take out the trash. That already, in and of itself, makes women feel so much better. It literally helps your gut so much by just being able to move things into their proper place. Get out the things that you don't need and start getting the other things into the appropriate compartment. So it creates the more and more I actually add on for women, the less and less overwhelmed they feel because it's just becoming your life, right? Your life becomes your medicine. You're not frantically, it's not spreadsheet wellness where there's 50,000 things to do and they're all like crazy scheduled in. It's the fact that you realize, okay, castor oil, for example, makes me feel better. I like doing that at night. I realize I should chew more. Maybe you're like me and you still have a young kiddo at home. I don't expect that I'm going to chew my meals. I expect that I'm going to be aware of the fact that I didn't. And that when I'm bloated, I'm not surprised because I didn't chew. And so I'm going to feel worthy, right? Self-worth is a huge issue for women. I'm going to choose to feel worthy enough to actually say that for 2 meals of the day, I'm just going. Right? I learned how to eat. I learned how to fuel myself. And maybe in the beginning, what women can do is just schedule one meal where you slow down and you breathe and you chew, right? You chew to applesauce consistency and you just see how do you feel after that meal compared to lunch. Right? These are huge things that we build on when you really didn't do much other than actually carve out time for yourself because you're actually worthy of it. That's it.
It's fantastic. I love it. It's just getting back to the grassroots. It's almost like how our ancestors lived, isn't it? They didn't go racing to the health food store. They didn't go buy this product or this one or that one. And in a panic, it's almost like a panic to be well, because we're not trusting ourselves. We're not trusting our body. We're not listening to our body, you know, and everyone's just grabbing at things at the next, you know, thing that the influencer has said to take, or that this is going to be good for me, or
Exactly. And I think you do need to know your biology. You deserve to
yes.
know your biochemistry. You deserve someone qualified to teach you, whoever that might be. Right. I love teaching this because we're beautiful. We are so beautiful. We've been robbed of it. And then what do we do with that biology? Right. So I'm always telling my clients, or I'm always telling when I'm speaking, I keep saying, I'm a fabulous woman to take suggestions from because I don't care about so many things. Right. I'm not out to set be the trendsetter that's like, here's my 14-hour morning routine, and here's what I eat in a day, like all color-coded. I want to live. Right. I want to live. I want to travel. I want to get pleasure. I want to connect. I want to be present. I want to feel free. Those are the things that I'm after. I'm not after wellness and I'm not after health. You can call them whatever you want, but that's kind of the byproduct. Right. But when you kind of, like you said, ancestrally, if you understand yourself biologically, if you understand foundations, you can build on those and you can make it as complex as is appropriate for you. Right. We might need different things by the time that we get to that big gold shiny thing that's actually complex enough for us. That's why women feel so much better when they do things properly. Right, when they do things with proper guidance, is that, dare I say, we actually have fun through this process. You can instill play into this and you can instill joy into this because you're not making a woman more of a burned out robot. You're saying, this is how your body's worked all along. This is just how you navigate the signals. This is how we revive you on a root cause level. These are the foundations that you've missed. And then you kind of domino from there and everything makes sense because it doesn't feel like you're constantly learning a new language. You've just kind of gone through the basics of that new language and now you can take the next class. And as you're getting more and more fluent, the language doesn't change. You just become better at the grammar, right? That's it.
I love it. I love that. It's almost like, if you can use an analogy of a house, it's almost like you're saying, don't choose the fancy windows and door before you've even put the foundation down. Like, stop putting the, like trying to put in the door and the window when you haven't even got the foundation and the structure up. So you have to start right, grassroots. Which brings me to, I really love this, what you've said here is you believe that being held, healed is bullshit. When
Oh,
you're healed, you're dead. What do you mean by that?
I have so I started saying this because so many women were like, I just want to be healed. And I'm like, from what? Like we are constantly transforming, right? I dreamed of being a gynecologist, so I became one. Now I don't dream about that anymore. As women, we're allowed to evolve, we're allowed to change, we're allowed to crave. And we got fixated on this idea of when I'm finally healed, I will start my life. When I'm healed, I will no longer be in pain. It's this finale. I'm like, you can do some healing. You can do some transforming. There's a lot of magic, right? I love this idea of science meets magic. Where is that intersection? But I'm constantly telling women, because I kept hearing it over and over again, but like, when I'm healed, I'm finally gonna, or the pain. Once I'm healed, I won't be in pain. I'm like, no, actually, when you're healed, you're going to be dead. Because you are going to, just like me, get your full round of when I first got excited about holistic medicine and everything. And I was like, oh, what's my perfect supplement plan? And I'm going to eat like this. And I'm going to be gluten-free and dairy-free and sugar-free and blah, blah, blah. And then I did all of it and I felt better. And then I was in another car accident. I was like, are you kidding me? Because shitty, this is my greatest motivational speech. You can pour all of your energy and magic into getting healed, and shitty things are still going to happen to you. That's called life, right? That is my ultimate motivational speech when women enter my practice. Shitty things are, I promise you, they're going to happen to you. Just like magical things are absolutely going to happen to you. But what we're not doing is we're not building out resilience for women. So they're thinking that as long as I fixate on this and obsess over this and restrict this, I'm going to get healed. I'm like, no, you're going to get healed and then you're going to get sick. Or you're going to, I don't know, you're going to trip and fall. Like whatever is going to happen, that's part of life. And if you created an infrastructure that's like, I can only live once I'm healed, you are shit out of luck. Because you will never live, because the next thing is around the corner. The only thing we can do is build out resilience so that you can decide what your needs are, so you can focus on what area of healing you want to do, right? Is it your gut? Do you want to do some healing with your gut? Because I don't know, maybe you're like me and you had terrible gut issues. And then I don't have, knock on wood, gut issues that build out resilience. But I also really like traveling to Latin America, which means I've picked up some very wonderful parasites along the way. Does that mean I'm healed? Does that mean I'm not? We have to change our language, right? You're never going to be healed. When you're healed, you're at the end of your journey. And I wish you a big, beautiful, messy journey where you're not fixated on the end result. You will never have an end result because curveballs, because life. And we completely stop being held accountable for building out resilience. You're still going to get the parasite once you're done with the parasite cleanse, right? Your joint pains are going to go away and you're going to do something stupid like me and break your foot by literally like I did by running into a door, right? That's it, because life. We cannot fixate on being healed, but we can decide to focus on sovereignty, right? And freedom and resilience. What's one thing I can do that might make me more resilient? What's one thing that makes me feel just a little more playful so that when the shitty things happen to me, I'm not just a basket stress case that says, oh my God, it's this thing and another thing piled up. We can't just live out of fear and nervous system dysregulation. We can't wait to start our lives and to have desires and to want to crave sensuality or sex or pleasure or whatever it might be once you're no longer constipated and once you're no longer in pain, right? What if you actually dare to crave more, and what if it can be better than you ever imagined? But that cannot have the limiting belief that you first must be healed, because I sure as shit am not, but I'm having a pretty good time.
I love
Right,
it.
that's the most important thing. And if I can do it, well, other women definitely can. Right, I'm a very good symbol of a lot of things that can go wrong. But it's that resilience and that vitality. And I'd much rather women use those words than things like cleanse, healed, right? Trauma, everything is these triggering words. It's like, no, your language matters. Don't talk shit about yourself. Right. And to me, healed is on the shit list because it means that you must work so hard to accomplish what you've deserved all along.
It's another to do. It's another thing that stresses you out.
Completely. Absolutely.
Oh my
I
God,
just don't want more.
we've covered so many things that I feel kind of pointless in asking my signature question. I think you've kind of answered it, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What message would you like to leave our listeners with today? I
I
think you've just said it, but if you can think of another.
think I did. Actually, the message is generally what I tell women all along is that feeling amazing, feeling pleasure, they are your birthright. You're not just a bag of symptoms. We deserve to crave more. What do you want to do when you're quote unquote healed? Right? First off, don't be. But second of all, what happens when your body actually feels like home again? That's the most important thing, is that you deserve to feel deeply at home in your body. And I have yet to meet a case that's too complicated where a woman cannot find her way home.
Oh, that is just beautiful. I just love that. Lyra, thank you so much for coming on to the show. This has been such a magical discussion about everything, and I really hope that our listeners and the people watching it as well really understand and can maybe sit back and take all this in and start feeling a little confident and self-assured that their body has their back. You don't have to be scrambling for the next thing to try and fix this and fix that, to trust yourself and
Exactly.
start slow. I really think, I know that you're booked out for a year in advance, and I think after this episode goes live, you're really going to be booked out for the next 2 to 3 years with everybody trying to come into,
Oh. I
have some
appreciate
of your wisdom. And for our listeners, all of Lyra's details will be in the show notes. Her website will be there. That'll be the best way, I think, to contact you. And is that the
Yeah.
best way that they can contact you, through the website?
Yeah. So I am, because I'm booked out, if whoever is interested, I do not gatekeep information. So I do have a newsletter called Body and Bliss. And I send out something weekly. I write it myself. My website, yeah, wholewomanhood.com. But also I am finally releasing I know, at least from my clients, a long-awaited course called Hormone Alchemy. And that's going to be all of these foundations. So it's gut and hormone revival, nervous system repair, and feminine embodiment, that sensuality, that pleasure piece. And it's putting it all together foundationally. So they can find that on my website. They can get that starter kit that I mentioned there with the castor oil, kind of all the things that I think are most missed. That would be definitely the best place. And on Instagram, I'm at Whole Womanhood. So
fantastic. That'll be in the show notes. So if you haven't scribbled that down, don't worry. We've got you. Lyra, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been amazing.
Likewise. I love talking about this, and thank you for being wonderful.
Thanks so much. I would love to know, what was the biggest insight or aha moment you got from this interview, so you can now speak up, take action, and make informed decisions for your health? And if you like this episode, get instant access to your free ebook, Alternative Wisdom, Taking Back Control of Your Health, at life-onus.com.